Hey, Mike, you know how I have that nasty habit of buying products that have Star Wars logos on them?
Yeah, you have an entire office full of that stuff. Remember back in episode 11, we just did a profile of your horrible condition?
Yeah, well, occasionally I accidentally buy things twice. So to avoid the effort of returning or selling all this stuff, I'm going to start giving it away to listeners of the show. And I'm going to start this week with a copy of Jason Fry's Rebel Dossier.
Ooh, a contest. I smell a contest.
This is a contest.
How are you going to do it?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to let you and everyone else know at the end of this episode. So you got to stay on the line.
Haha, we've roped them in. All right, let's record the podcast. I'm Mike Comite.
I'm Jacob Tender.
Welcome back to Bantha Fodder. We are fresh off of Star Wars Celebration. It was a great time in Orlando. Jake, did you catch some sun down there?
No, I was inside the convention center the entire time, so I actually didn't see the sun at all.
Oh. All right, let's come clean. We neither of us were in Orlando. We were definitely...
No, we didn't get to go.
we were
neither invited, nor did we get tickets, so
But it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
2019.
Well,
Bantha Fodder 2019 Star Wars Celebration to be determined.
Yeah, I mean, unless we're all dead, but, you know, this, we'll see.
Let's hope not. I got to see the end of this saga.
But that's the ultimate travesty.
At the very least, I need to see the end of the saga. After that, who cares? So, yeah, Star Wars Orlando 2017. This is the big celebration. Happens almost every year, or it has for the past decade or so. Couple breaks here and there. That's what we're going to get next year. There's not going to be a celebration in 2018. They're going to hold off till 2019.
We mentioned that last episode, I think, just talking about, like, you know, the gearing up for Star Wars Land, right? They're going to have a Star Wars celebration right in Orlando, and then walk over to Star Wars Land right afterwards and just have a huge party there.
I think that would be cool. I really do think that's a good theory. It's hard to say if they'll keep it in Orlando. They don't always do it, you know, in the same city. They often jump it around. You know, it's been in Europe a couple times. It's been in Anaheim. So who knows? They could be bringing it to Anaheim because they're putting a Star Wars Land in there as well. I'm thinking Orlando, Anaheim, 2019. It's going to coincide with the opening of Star Wars Land, and hopefully the next one will run a little bit smoother. I heard that there are some issues this year with some of the organization of the event.
Well, you know what they didn't have trouble with was playing the old Naboo parade theme before every panel, and that's just, you know, that doesn't say doesn't do it. I love that song. Oh yeah.
If you spent any time watching the live stream, you heard that many, many times, and I certainly did.
That's just anytime I do anything great in my life, I just have that song queued up and I just play it, and I just, you know, I feel, you know, like we just really did it.
Mike, if you ever get married, I'm going to insist that play as you walk down the aisle.
You're going to walk me down the aisle, Jake. You're going to give me away.
Aw, that'd be so much fun.
Oh God.
So if you did go to Star Wars Celebration Orlando, I'm not sure why you're listening to this episode, but this is mostly for the people that did not get to go. This is a recap of all the awesome stuff that they talked about there. And, you know, I suppose if you went to the event, you probably could stand to learn some stuff here too, from what I heard from some of the people that I follow on Twitter.
There's no way you made it to every panel. There's no way you made it.
No, there's... It's actually impossible. There's no way. And then some people didn't get to make it to some of the main panels because they were wristbands only, and the line, like the queues, were totally messed up. I guess day one, they only had one access point to the convention center, and
that's safe.
You know, even people that were there for hours or all night had a really hard time getting in and didn't get into the first panel of the weekend, which was the big 40th anniversary panel in the morning. So people are pretty bummed out about that. But, you know, even still, there are a lot of really cool panels, and we'll dig into all the stuff that was announced as we get into this episode. But I think it's probably best that we start with the main draw. I think probably the biggest news that came out of Star Wars Celebration Orlando 2017 was...
Hayden Christensen being there. That was big, huh?
What have I done?
Hayden Christensen has not been at a Star Wars Celebration since 2002. And... you can kind of guess why, right?
No, dude, I don't know why.
I mean, his performance as Anakin wasn't, it was panned, to say the least. But he went this year, and he was a really good sport. He was at that 40th anniversary panel. He was there doing signings. And I think the coolest thing that I saw with Hayden Christensen was him signing jars of sand. People brought jars of sand for Hayden Christensen to sign, which is so great. I think that's awesome.
How funny would it have been if he just refused to sign them? It's like,
I don't like sand.
No, I think since it's been memeified, especially within the past couple of years, like Star Wars Twitter has completely memeified the sand. And in one of the interviews that he had at Celebration, they asked him about his thoughts on sand, and you know, he was a good sport, and he said, well, it's not smooth.
It's coarse and rough and irritating.
God, he must have just been gritting his teeth through that whole thing. Did he look like he was having fun?
Yeah, no, I think he really did have fun. I didn't get to watch all of the 40th anniversary panel, so I'm looking forward to watching that. Also, there's a part that I'll have to pull out a link and put in the show notes, but Liam Neeson made a short cameo from the set of the new Jar Jar movie that he's working on.
Oh God. Well, we'll get back to the 40th anniversary panel. Clearly, yeah. This was all in jest. This was not the biggest news of the convention. We had the Last Jedi trailer premiere.
Yeah, officially a teaser trailer. It's a pretty short little teaser, but it's definitely more of Luke than we got in the last movie.
Yeah, one line, right? Or a few lines. A
couple lines.
We're going to get into like a heavy dissection of this trailer next episode, which should be dropping around the same time as this episode. So, you know, just cue that up right after this episode if you haven't heard it already.
Yeah, we will go in depth in the next one, and that'll be very soon. We just want to get through all the other awesome news from Celebration before taking up a bunch of time on the cool new trailer. So the trailer came out, a poster came out, which is really cool. I think we could talk about the poster a little bit. Did you get to look at that?
I would have that poster in my college dorm room 10 years ago.
Yeah. Not so much now.
No, probably not. But it's cool. You know, it's kind of retro looking.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I haven't been able to find any information on who actually illustrated it. It's not, obviously it's not a Struzan. That'll probably come out later when the film is wrapped and they have an official, you know, cover for the movie and whatnot. But I think this is cool.
It reminds me of Tron, you know, you get that holding the lightsaber up. I mean, I guess it should remind me of Luke from episode 4, you know, like holding the saber up and with Leia wrapped around him. But I just think Tron when I see somebody holding, you know, something up to the sky and descending upon.
Yeah, that's definitely a good callback. I mean, the original posters with Luke and Leia, I think that's cool. And I never really thought about it, but when you look at those posters now, it's kind of cringy because you have Leia, she's wrapped around Luke, and now we know that's, you know, her brother, and it's kind of weird. It, you know, obviously it's like it was supposed to be a sci-fi fantasy cover, just like a lot of the novels, the fantasy novels of the time where the women are scantily clad and they show a lot of leg and, you know, they're wrapped around their hero, which was usually a man. And I think that's a kind of a cool twist in this poster. You know, we've got a very strong, independent woman who's now learning to wield a lightsaber of her own. And it's pretty strong. I think it's awesome. I have a question. You know, we talk about colors, the idea of colors in the show. We talked about that when the name of this movie, The Last Jedi, dropped, you know, the colors were red on the logo, which was something a little bit different, but we went all over that. And what was that? Episode 17? 16
yeah,
or 17?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. A couple episodes ago, we talked about that. In this one, obviously, we've got this cool poster, and the theme of it is mostly red. Everything's just kind of like, you know, doused in red. And then we've got the blue lightsaber, of course, that Rey has, and that's kind of shining on her. But as the lightsaber goes up, 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 up towards the top of the poster, it turns red. Do you think there's any symbolism there?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows.
Okay. Fair enough. Just a thought.
I have no idea, but we can talk about what, you know, like there are other red lightsabers in the universe, one of them being Kylo Ren's. So
anyway, it's a cool poster. We got, it's just Rey and then a gigantic version of half of Luke's face. And then on the other side of the lightsaber beam, we have a slightly smaller version of Kylo Ren's, kind of juxtaposing the two sides there. I hope that we get some more of the Kylo and Luke's story in this movie, but we'll find out.
Oh, that's Kylo Ren. Huh.
What?
Yeah, I haven't taken a good look at it. So It just looks like...
Who did you think it was?
I thought it was Rey.
Rey's not going to be on it twice.
Wow.
It's indeed Kylo Ren. I'm excited to go through the trailer with you. See what else you didn't notice. Or I didn't notice, because I think you probably watched it more than I did. So that's the poster. It's pretty cool. We'll do the trailer in the next episode. As far as film news, there was one other piece I want to talk about with you. It was in an interview with Kathleen Kennedy. Slash Film kind of has a little wrap-up on this news bit that Carrie Fisher, who was able to wrap all of her scenes for Episode 8 and will be in Episode 8 plenty, it's been confirmed that she will not appear in Episode 9. Did you get to read through this?
I was kind of bummed reading this. I felt like it was a spoiler for... Mm. Not for Episode 9. You know, like, I mean, Carrie Fisher couldn't, unfortunately, be in Episode 9 no matter what. Mm-hmm. So that's not a surprise. But as far as Episode 8 goes, I was like, oh, well, I feel like this is just going to, Leia has to die then in this, or, you know, Leia has to, you know.
It does seem like it could be a spoiler, but I think there's some hope here. It is kind of up in the air as to how they're going to, you know, kind of take her out of the story. However, you know, there are some quotes in this, and they did say that, you know, unfortunately, Carrie passed away, so by the time we were well underway with Episode 9 in our thoughts, we had not written the script yet. We regrouped. We started over again in January. So sadly, Carrie will not be in Episode 9. We will see a lot of her in Episode 8. So as far as I've been able to read, it seems pretty certain that they didn't make any alterations to Episode 8 as a result of her death. I mean, at this point, they had wrapped all of the scenes. They were well into, you know, post-production at this point. So I'd imagine that there's going to be really no change as far as Carrie's role in Episode 8, and they're just going to have to figure out something to do in Episode 9 to kind of explain her out of at least the shots within the story.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we will. But this leads nicely back into the panel talk with the 40th anniversary panel. They started out in the morning with a really nice tribute to Carrie Fisher. A lot of people were on this panel. You know, it was hosted by Warwick Davis. Mark Hamill was there. George Lucas was there. Harrison Ford was there. Billy Dee Williams was there. Billy Lord was there. And she, she got to kind of speak about her mother. And there was a very moving tribute to Carrie Fisher that they played there as well. While John Williams played with an orchestra live, which would have been really cool to see.
Wow. Yeah.
Really, really, really nice, touching tribute. They all got to talk about her some. Over the course of 3 days at Celebration, there was a lot of talk about Carrie Fisher, obviously, and her legacy and everybody's relationship with her. And it was really cool to watch some of that and kind of hear about stories and, you know, just feelings about Carrie Fisher and her wit and, you know, just her intelligence and how great of a person she was. And I've got links in the show notes to the whole 40th anniversary panel. It's kind of long, so I would take some time to watch that. But the tribute to Carrie Fisher is relatively short, and you could easily knock that out on lunch break if you're willing to cry a little bit. So it's a good little thing.
Mm.
Yeah. But other panels, the 40th anniversary is where they had like all of the big names. They had most of the main actors from the original movies around to speak there, with the exception of David Prowse, of course. We talked about that in the last episode. But all the other names are there, you know, sharing memories, talking about, you know, 40 years of Star Wars, which is just nuts. But, you know, we just keep hitting these landmarks and they keep putting out more movies. So it's amazing that we keep going. But Celebration just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and more people come, including, you know, Liam Neeson's there. Samuel L. Jackson had a little cameo as well. And of course, Hayden Christensen, which was a big surprise to a lot of people, but people were pretty excited about that. And, I think it's cool that he came. I think it's great when the people that may maybe have a little more aversion to the Star Wars fandom, come around. Billy Dee Williams was there, of course. And, Ian McDiarmid, how do you say his last, is that how you say his last
I
name?
I say McDiarmid. McDiarmid. Yeah.
Yeah. He was there too. It was really cool. He and Hayden sat in on a panel together, which is kind of neat, you know, reuniting, master and apprentice there. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are a lot of really cool panels. They haven't uploaded individual videos for all of them yet. You kind of have to sift through some of the live streams for some of them, unless you want to watch like ripped copies and other people's Star Wars channels. You can check that out on YouTube. I'll have links to whatever I can find here, including the Last Jedi panel, which was awesome. We had Kathleen Kennedy on there. We had Rian Johnson there. We had Mark Hamill and we had John Boyega and of course we had Daisy Ridley too, and BB-8 showed up for a little bit. That was cool. Yeah, he was cute. That was actually hosted by comptroller Josh Gad, which was fun. They opened it up with, you know, those cute little Instagram videos that he was doing with Daisy Ridley while he was recording Frozen 2 and asking him all those spoilery questions about The Last Jedi that she couldn't answer. So that was cute. It was a cool panel, though. They talked a lot about the making of it, and they showed a lot of really cool behind-the-scenes footage that Ryan took with his black-and-white camera. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the stuff for the making of this movie, because he seems to really be into documentation. And they introduced a new character.
Who is it?
Her name is Rose, and she is a resistance engineer. So she has, it seems like she might have a smaller role, but from what I can tell, or what I can kind of extrapolate, it kind of seems like she's going to be having some adventures with John Boyega's character and perhaps Oscar Isaac's character as well. She is being played by an actress named Kelly Marie Tran, and she is very cute. She is very bubbly and fun. She seemed very excited and nervous to be on a stage at Star Wars Celebration. It was her first celebration, I think, and she was a joy. She seemed to be very fun. So I'm excited to see what her character is all about, because she seems to be a little bit different from the rest of the cast, you know, very cheery. So I think that'll be kind of a fun addition to the series. And I like that they're continuing to add new characters as this saga goes on.
Yeah, as long as we can get attached to them. You know, we saw how great Rogue One was for, you know, new faces, I guess, new pieces of Star Wars lore, you know.
Yeah.
So I think she'll be welcome with open arms.
It's an interesting idea, though. I mean, we're introducing this new character, Rose, which I don't think is necessarily a super Star Wars-y name, but yeah, whatever. And it's kind of weird.
It's spelled with two R's in Rose.
Is it?
No, I'm just trying to think of how they could Star Wars up.
I haven't seen it written anywhere yet. I just heard it said in the panel. No. I think it's, I'm going to guess.
That'd be so funny.
Rose.
It was just two R's. That's a Wookiee. That's kind of a Wookiee spelling, I guess, though, so she wouldn't have that.
Yeah, they're going to toss a couple G's and Y's and R's in there.
Mm-hmm. Probably an apostrophe. It's actually R apostrophe R-O-S-E. Rose.
Yeah, but if we think back to the original saga, I guess the closest thing that we would have to a Rose would be probably Lando, right? Like a new notable character.
I guess if we know who Rose is in the context of episode 8. I mean,
you know? Assuming that she, you know, she has, like, she's introduced on the stage. I think that's a pretty big thing. When basically nothing is known about this movie, you introduce this new character named Rose on the stage at Star Wars Celebration. That's a pretty big deal. So I'm imagining she has a pretty decent role in this thing. And if she's going to be spending time with John Boyega, who we know isn't going to be hanging out with Rey for most of the movie, I think there's a pretty strong possibility that she's going to play a pretty decent role in this film and may reoccur in the last one. So I'm going to go out on a line and just kind of,
all right. You're taking bets. You think she's Lando. I think she's Biggs.
You think she's Biggs. I think she's Lando. I definitely think she has a more prominent role than,
all right, we'll find out in December.
All right. Mark it down. This is going to be one of those things we got to remember.
If she makes it to the official trailer, you know, not teaser, if she makes it into a trailer, I'll agree with you. Maybe she's going to be a Lando. But
okay.
for now, I just think she's Biggs, you know?
Okay, fair enough. Awesome. So, yeah, the Last Jedi panel was awesome, and I'm excited to talk about the trailer with you. Got to do some breakdowns and try to dig out what we can. It's not very long, so I think
you got to gift. You got to gift that thing, man. You got to get those gifts.
My gosh. I do have the day off tomorrow, so it's going to happen. Did you get to watch any of the panels or any of the YouTube videos? I know you've been pretty busy lately.
No, I haven't.
Fair enough.
I've just been reading recaps. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been reading a lot from IO9 and The Verge. They've been doing some pretty good coverage lately. So I've been following along on that and Slash Film. But yeah, I've been watching through what I can. I definitely want to watch through the Del Rey Lucasfilm panel. You know, I like the books, and we'll talk about that here too. There's some really neat panels just, you know, all around the Star Wars fandom. you know, it wasn't all just Lucasfilm stuff too. There were a lot of podcasts there. They had an actual podcast stage at Celebration this year, which I think is really neat. And that's something we're going to have to look into for 2019.
It's going to happen, man. It's going to happen.
We had some friends of the show there, actually. Tarkin's Top Shelf was there, and although
really?
Our friend Mark Suter... Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mark Suter wasn't able to make it. He was stuck here in Ohio with me.
That's not awesome.
But Tarkin's Top Shelf was there with Becca and Ryder from Idiots Array. He filled in for Mark, and he did a great job. They talked kind of loosely about the books. Tarkin's Top Shelf is, for those that aren't subscribed, you should check it out. It's a podcast about all of the canonized Star Wars novels. So basically Mark and Becca, they read through the books and they talk about it, which makes it really hard to listen to when I have not yet read most of the books, but they do kind of push me to finish them so that I can listen to their thoughts. It's a very good podcast. It's easily the best literary Star Wars podcast that I've been able to find so far. And they were there and they were just kind of talking about the importance of the books and how it's expanding the story and how they're able to dig more into characters and certain aspects of their lives that they're not able to do in the movies. So very, very cool episode that's actually out now. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And take a listen to them. They did a great job.
I would love to do a joint podcast with them, one that we could, you know, toss in both of our feeds. I think I have a lot of interesting things that I'd like to talk about with them.
Definitely. I'll see if we can do that. It would be cool to actually, you know, I could actually get Mark together and we could go to the College of Worcester and record it in their podcast studio, which is open to the public.
That would be awesome.
That'd be really cool. So yeah, I guess that's a pretty good lead in to books. Can we talk books? All right. I know, you know, Mike, you're still working on Bloodline, right?
Yeah. Hey man, chapter 28, 29, and something like that, you know? I figure if I can just commit to one chapter a day, I should be done by next week or so, you know? It's going to be fine.
Fantastic. You really need to get that done because the author of that book is working on another new book.
I read that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I want to lead into the journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi is the bigger section of this podcast, or this part of the podcast, so... Keep that chapter marker exactly where it is. But I've got a link here to the StarWars.com kind of roundtable discussion breakdown for the Lucasfilm writers. They had some really cool people there. In fact, Jason Fry, who wrote the Rebel dossier that we're giving away in this episode, he was there. He was talking about some of the work that he's done in Star Wars. So that was pretty cool. And let's just break it down. Let's start with Star Wars Forces of Destiny. Okay. This is a really cool series of stories, specifically about Star Wars women. We've seen a lot of really intentional talk about Star Wars women. You know, we're talking like Rey, Sabine, Padme, Jyn, Ahsoka, as well as Leia. So you know, they just keep adding awesome female characters to the Star Wars universe. And Kathleen Kennedy is really pushing this, and Mark Hamill is really pushing this, and it's fantastic. You know, I think it's great just looking at the live feed and some of the photos from the, you know, the cosplay and whatnot at Star Wars Celebration. There are so many little girls there dressed up like Leia and Rey and Kylo Ren, even like they're all dressed up and they love it. They're, you know, they have their favorite characters and, you know, these females that they can look up to. So with Star Wars Forces of Destiny, at least as it is now, this is a series of books as well as a TV show, which we'll talk about shortly. That's completely based on these characters. And I'm pretty excited to read these, even though they're definitely created for kids more than most of the books that that I've read so far. But it'll be fun. I think it's just great that they're able to expand these stories and give the little kids, little boys and girls that love Star Wars as much as we did as kids, a chance to, you know, read more about these characters.
I think having Jyn, you know, Jyn Erso being featured in some of these stories is going to be awesome because it, you know, it's easy to, I think I worry for Rogue One. I worry that Rogue One is going to kind of not get swept under the rug because it's such a remarkable film. I think people were going to assume that like her story was done, and which it is, you know, in that context. But
sure.
like assuming that Rogue One was all there was to seeing, you know, all there was to her. And you know, we have some, you know, canon novels that feature her in it, right? There's some stories.
Yeah, I mean, Rogue One, the novelization is out there that has a little bit more about her. Rogue One Catalyst was the big one. That's mostly about Galen Erso, but definitely, you know, give some background to Jyn Erso's backstory. And then there's another new book coming out pretty soon, I think sometime this summer, called Rebel Rising, which explores specifically Jyn Erso's backstory, I think more around the time where she's adult leading into the events of Rogue One, which should be interesting.
That's cool. Yeah, I think people want more Jyn, and I think people kind of get disheartened because, you know, she has nothing after Rogue One. But there's a lot before to explore. And I personally am excited for Padme's stories from those Forces of Destiny. I think she was Clone Wars, the animated series aside, I feel like she's very underutilized in the films. And I think she's got a lot more to say than we gave her credit for in those prequels.
I totally agree. And in the Tarkin's Top Shelf episode that they did at Star Wars Celebration, they actually talked about that. Becca is really into the rising theme of women in Star Wars and these characters and how important they are to the story. And she mentioned wanting more books about Padme and even Shmi. She said she wants to hear more about Shmi. And this is all before she knew about all these new books that were coming out. I think she actually made it to that panel later that day. But I would be interested in hearing a lot more about Padme and Shmi. You know, the Skywalker women definitely play a pretty big role. So I think it would be kind of cool to hear more about them. I think Shmi is kind of a stretch, but that would kind of be interesting.
It's going to be a long period of time that she's being held captive by the Sand People.
Day one. That's not what it's about.
It's bad.
Oh, no.
Chronicles of Shmi. It's just however many days or years she was tied up with the Sand People.
Oh, man, that would be dark. That'd be so dark.
Day 512. My son is here. I'm dead. So I'm looking at is there really a BB-8 novel?
It's not a novel. Okay. It's a kid's book. It's gonna be a really well illustrated kid's book. I think mostly a picture book. It's gonna be written by Drew Daywalt, and it's about BB-8's journey across Jakku. From what I understand, and there are like no descriptions on basically any of the books that are announced. So you know. Forgive me for extrapolating, but it's called BB-8 on the Run, and the cover of it shows BB-8 on the run on Jakku, and it's got Tito in the background. So I'm assuming that it takes place immediately after he's told by Poe to run, and probably winds up around the time that he meets up with Rey. I'm guessing that's probably the time frame that we're talking about here.
It's gonna be a plot heavy. You're gonna have a lot revealed. Snoke's identity absolutely coming in this BB-8 on the run. Snoke revealed. You heard it here first, Bantha Fodder, episode 19. Snoke's identity revealed in BB-8 on the run.
They've got to be able to do something fun with this, but it can't just be him rolling across sand.
Maybe it'll be like one of those interactive illustrated books where like there's a little like a pull book. Remember the pull books? Like you open them up and you pull a little tab and that moves. Maybe that's what this will be. You know, just a little like rolling ball. And you know, technology's advanced, so it'll be a ball. Like the ball will spin as you pull it another tab and it goes across the page. I'm really excited for this book. If you can't tell, you know, I love BB-8. You just say BB-8 and I just go. Oh.
I want it to be more like Hatchet.
Hatchet. Oh my God. Just attacking BB-8 and BB-8 having to fend for its life.
Historically, droids have not done well in sand. It gets all on their gears. You know, it's very coarse.
I heard it gets everywhere, yeah.
It gets everywhere. So it's not good for the droids. I hope that this is kind of like a Hatchet story for BB-8 where he has to survive in the harsh elements of the Jakku Desert. He has to figure out ways to like flush all of the sand out of his gears. And I think that'd be fantastic.
We're going to need to do a full episode on this when it comes out. It's going to be so intense, I bet. Watch it comes out and like BB-8 has to fight for his life.
Yeah. I mean, he got caught by Tito. Maybe that wasn't the first running that he had. Maybe he had a really bad day. Maybe that was just like the final straw of a really bad day on Jakku.
He's forced to sell drugs at the depot.
There's actually a really cool story. It's in one of the kind of anthology books that they put out with the Journey to the Force Awakens. I think it's called High Noon on Jakku. And it's about that character that we talked about. It's Constable Zuvio. He was the one that we kind of thought maybe was in that flashback of Rey's, but it definitely wasn't, but had a kind of similar hat. He had toys, but he wasn't really in the movie. He did get a little bit of time in a book, and that took place on Jakku. And there's action in that, and it's actually one of my favorite of those stories. So that one's cool. It's a good one to check out.
Oh. Well, all those Journey of the Force Awakens books, they're kind of mirroring that for Last Jedi, right?
Yeah, they're doing Journey to Star Wars: The Last Jedi. It's kind of the same concept. The books that are coming out in this you know kind of push, will have that marketing across the top of it, along the sides of it as well. It made sense with The Last Jedi. Like, most of the stuff that they put out was, you know, more or less stuff that, you know, kind of supported the movie. I'm wondering how it's going to do that this time. You know, we've got stories about Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker that are a little bit more ambiguous. It looks like they take place a lot earlier in those two characters' timelines. So it'll be interesting to see how those tie in. But I think this entire group that they announced here at Star Wars Celebration was fantastic. I expect that there will probably be more by the time the movie comes out. But they announced like 15 or so books. But there's like 5 or 6 that I'm really excited about.
Did they do 2 Phasma?
Yeah, so there's a novel called Phasma. It's by Delilah Dawson. And there are no details known about this at all. But there is another series called Captain Phasma. This is going to be put out by Marvel. It's going to be one of those, like, you know, five book pushes that they did with, like, Chewie and who else did they do?
Han Solo got like a 5-issue thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Leia had a short run too. There's been a whole bunch of shorter.
Lando had the short one.
Oh, Lando had the best one.
I like that one.
That was a really good one. So Captain Phasma is going to get her own. It's going to bridge the gap between The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So basically it's a story about how she got out of the trash compactor.
Good for her.
So I'm excited for both of those. Like, there's really nothing out there for Phasma. She's kind of mentioned in some of the young adult novels that came out before or around the time the Force Awakens did, you know, Finn's story. But
I think people want to love her. But there's just so little to latch onto, you know. You don't even see her face, you know. And it's just we want to love her, and I think they're slowly doling out little by little enough. And by the end of it, we probably will have like a Boba Fett type character, even though Boba Fett probably played arguably less of a role in the original trilogy.
He definitely had more mystery to him. I think Captain Phasma is definitely, you know, sort of the mirror to that character in this series. But I think she just got such a raw deal in The Force Awakens, and there's not much to be, you know, said about that, because of course, like, her role wasn't that large in the main story, and the fact that she got any screen time was something of note, I guess. But really all we had of her was that she was a woman and that she had really cool armor for some reason, and then she kind of got bested by some thugs and compromised the entire base.
Yeah, like completely undermined by you know, just like some dudes with a blaster pistol. Like, any badass she had was just taken away from her in that one instant. Just
so that actually adds a little, you know, kind of thinking about that adds a little bit of depth to her character. You know, she compromises the entire base. She's essentially the reason that the shields are down and that Poe's team was able to destroy the entire planet. But is she going to be welcomed back to the First Order? Or do they even know that she did that? They probably didn't have enough time to check whose clearance it was that shut down the shields before everything went to hell. So they probably don't even know. So if she made her escape, which I'm assuming she did because she's, you know, getting these series and this book, but is she just going to like try to go back to the First Order, or is she going to leave in shame? Like, I'm kind of actually interested in how that's going to play out, because that's kind of a juicy little bit of drama that's gonna have to unfold at some point.
This is actually gonna be like some Hubert Selby nightmare novel where she's actually just stuck in the trash compactor for the entire novel. It's just gonna be like that movie with Ryan Reynolds where he's in the coffin for the whole thing.
Don't talk about that movie.
That's
I had the first panic attack of my entire life happened immediately after watching that movie alone in the dark on my PlayStation Portable. It was the scariest film I've ever seen. I deleted it. I will never watch the movie again.
Wow. I was underwhelmed by it, but it seems to have struck a nerve with Jacob here.
I have extreme claustrophobia, and my greatest fear is being buried alive. I'm not entirely sure why I watched that movie. I knew that was my fear, and I think I just really liked Ryan Reynolds, so I popped it in, and oh, Lord, that was a bad night.
Now all your greatest enemies know your weakness, so...
I know. I was equally affected by the episode of Heroes where they bury the bad guy who never dies.
You mean Misfits?
Heroes, the science fiction television series on NBC.
They also do that in Misfits. They bury the guy that never dies also.
Oh, that's terrifying. That's how can you get any more scary than that?
I think that's like the reveal for his power. Oh. Like you find out that he can live forever because they bury him alive.
Oh my God.
But he was dead when they buried him.
I can't handle that. I'm starting to sweat. Can we move on?
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay. So Captain Phasma's getting the story treatment with the book and the comics, and Princess Leia is coming back with another novel by Claudia Gray.
Bam!
Bam!
Claudia Gray knows Leia. She, like, I as far as I've gotten in Bloodline, Claudia Gray knows Leia, and I am so excited she's continuing. She should be the official authority on Leia, as far as I'm concerned.
I'd agree with that. I really like Bloodline. I'm looking forward to talking to you about it some year, and then a couple years down the line, maybe we can even talk about this one, too. This one's called Leia, Princess of Alderaan. This takes place, I'm assuming, in her teenage years from the cover. It looks like she's younger. Same garb, but younger.
There was rumors a long time ago about, like, I don't know what the channel was called back then. It's, like, what, CW, like, WB, like, whatever channel that it was. There was going to be, like, a drama about Princess Leia growing up on Alderaan.
This really?
Post Revenge of the Sith. It was like a weird rumor that was going around. It was going to be like a Smallville-esque type show about Princess Leia on Alderaan. I thought,
oh no!
They've just wrapped it up into a Claudia Gray novel.
I don't think it's going to come out that way.
No, it's totally. It's going to be like Sweet Valley Twins, Babysitter's Club, possibly.
Claudia Gray is really good. She wrote so far, I think. My favorite book of the new canon is still Lost Stars. I love that book so much. And I love Claudia Gray's writing. I think she's fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, she's so much better than Sweet Valley Twins. She's
it's going to be awesome. And kind of in the same vein, there's another young adult book called The Legends of Luke Skywalker, which is kind of a throwback because The Legends of Luke Skywalker was used in a lot of the marketing for Star Wars. It was used in, you know, some of the books that came out after Star Wars. And this is being written by Ken Liu, and he's a up and comer in the science fiction genre. He's apparently written a couple books that have been pretty good. I've not read any of these books, but a lot of people at Star Wars Celebration seemed to be really excited when he was announced. So I'm excited as well because, you know, more stories about Luke. I am totally in.
These are dropping before Last Jedi, right?
Yeah. I think all of these ones probably will. I think that they'll probably announce more, and they will have the same journey to Star Wars The Last Jedi marketing on them. But if it's anything like last year's push, it's going to be a bunch of ones that don't really give anything away.
Yeah, so it's just going to be like something to really
tide you over.
Yeah, some like candy to hold you over, but it's not going to be like the meat and potatoes of what is happening in Last Jedi.
Yeah, definitely stuff that like helps. Like when they put out, they put out a book about, Rey's story, Finn's story. They put out some, kind of auxiliary stuff that tied into The Force Awakens and definitely helped those characters out. Like you definitely felt like you knew those characters a little bit more going into it. I think that some of these will kind of do that for The Last Jedi, and I'm excited about that. I think it's a really cool way to expand the universe. And since a lot of these are young adult novels, they'll be really quick reads, which will be really convenient.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who didn't read any of those Journey to the Force Awakens before the Force Awakens, I wasn't really affected.
Yeah.
I didn't really miss them, I guess.
Right. So those are the big ones. Those are like the Journey to the Last Jedi ones. There are two more that are coming out. I guess they're kind of wrapped up in this, but they're not so much stories. They're kind of like auxiliary reference guides that I'm kind of excited about. The first one being The Movie Making Magic of Star Wars Creatures and Aliens. So, this will be kind of like one of those books where they kind of take you into what it took to, make these creatures. And especially with Star Wars Creatures, that's going to be really fascinating. I love that kind of stuff. I have a book that's kind of similar. It's called The Art of Creature and in character design. It's written by, it's assembled by Sandy Calora, who some people might know as the creator and director of Batman Dead End, which was that really cool fan film that combined Batman and Alien and Predator all in like 5 minutes. Really incredible short. It never got developed into a full movie, but this guy
surprisingly
has worked on,
enough.
Yeah. This guy Sandy Clore, he's worked on a lot of really amazing films, you know, primarily the Predator movies. He worked on a lot of those. He designed a lot of the Predators, and he has a really cool series of books kind of about the same thing. So I'm excited to see something like that, but within the Star Wars universe, where you can specifically see how, you know, the Bantha was made, and I guess how they just put fur on elephants. But, you know, seeing how Salacious B. Crumb was assembled and how they put together that gigantic Jabba the Hutt and made him realistic.
I always enjoy watching the featurettes, like the bonus features on DVDs. I like watching the featurettes. It's good. Yeah, it's just the book form of that. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool.
I'm more excited about the Stormtroopers.
Yeah, I've been trying to dig around the internet for information on this. I think I actually, like, I might have found this on Amazon. I try to check my Amazon filters for Star Wars books, new, you know, sort by latest or whatever, just so I can find those ones that pop up as soon as the ISBN numbers are there. And I saw this one pop up a while ago. It's called Stormtroopers Behind the Armor. It's written by Ryder Windham and Adam Bray, and those guys are behind most of the newer DK guides. So, you know, the visual encyclopedias, complete vehicles, complete locations, a lot of these like visual dictionary kind of things. These are two of the guys that are primarily putting these together.
I mean, this is stuff that I've always wanted, though, like this Stormtroopers thing. Like, I want to know about the helmets. I want to know about, like, if they can survive in space. I want to know about, like, Sand Troopers versus Scout Troopers versus Snow Troopers. And there's just so much cool stuff. And
just a breakdown on the helmets would be
maybe, and
incredible.
Like, even history on, like, when they transitioned out of the clones and, like, out of using clones. And I don't know. It's just, like, I would love some Stormtrooper history laid on me. I want to know, like, you know, what... You know, how they transitioned to the First Order from the Empire, like what the changes were for in the uniform. It's gonna be nice. It's not like a making of. It's not like a creature design book like that you just mentioned, right? This is like a full on like lore based.
I don't know. I mean, I think just seeing that it's being written by Ryder Windham and Adam Bray, that this is going to be more along the lines of the DK books. You know, that they give you information about each element in the Star Wars universe, but within like the context of the universe. So I don't think it'll be like a behind the scenes making of. I think it's going to be more like a visual dictionary style thing where, you know, there's a photograph of this certain helmet, and then they kind of break down maybe how, you know, that's significant, the different aspects of the armor and like what it's all for, and you know, a couple paragraphs and sections about that particular armor and when it was used and why.
That's the stuff right there.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's what it's for. That's my guess. We'll see as that goes. You know, most of these books have, you know, preview covers, so they're not the real covers. We don't really know exactly what to expect until you kind of get a better idea of the cover and the synopses, I guess. So right. We'll watch for that. You know me, I love the books. I have all of them, so I'll keep you all updated.
And then this rolls right into TV shows.
Yeah, and they discussed it quite a bit at Celebration. It kept coming up. Rebels is obviously the show right now. That's what everybody's watching. I know that you are not really into Rebels, Mike, and I know that there are probably some people listening to this that have not watched Rebels as well, so I don't want to spoil anything. But this is the last season. I think you can kind of go into it knowing that, because everybody else who watches the show is going into the last season knowing this. This will be the final season of Rebels. It looks like they're going to tie things up pretty nicely.
Yeah, it's not like the Clone Wars end where they kind of had a lot more planned and got the plug pulled on them.
Yeah, no, Dave Filoni was all over Celebration. He was everywhere. He's really kind of like the closest thing we have to an heir, I think, as far as you know, George Lucas is concerned. I think he's like the closest thing that we have to George Lucas's heir. He really does follow in some of the story making traditions that George kind of set forth, and you know, he still seems pretty tight with George, and I think he really respects what George made, and he really wants to do the best by the series, and he's done a fantastic job so far. With the Clone Wars, he did a great job. That definitely didn't end the way that he wanted it to. He found ways with the story group to, you know, make use of the stories that were still planned and undeveloped in books and stories. And with Rebels, you know, this is his baby. Like, this is like the big thing. And of course, Ahsoka is kind of, that's his character. You know, that's his biggest character, because he invented her and, you know, he's created her story. So you see him around Star Wars celebration, and he's wearing Ahsoka shirts. He always wears Ahsoka shirts whenever there's some kind of live event. He wears Ahsoka shirts, and I'll put a tweet in here. It's kind of funny. He was at this one panel, and he goes on the stage, and he's wearing the shirt, and it says Ahsoka Lives? ? And we've seen him wear something like this before. But then he they show the trailer for season 4, and then it comes back to the stage, and he's changed his shirt, and it says Ahsoka Lives! ! And it has nothing to do with the trailer, because she's not in the trailer at all. That it's just kind of his humor. It's his baby. It's kind of ambiguous as to whether Ahsoka lives or not in the series. That's really not a spoiler, because the people who have watched the show don't know either. But this is the end of Rebels, and that's kind of sad, because I was really starting to love the show, and I had the same feeling that I did when I was watching The Clone Wars, and I loved it.
I hope that there's more things planned for, the animated, the world of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I would love to see some more stuff, some post-Jedi animated stuff. I think it's going to be great. Or I guess we can't say post-Jedi, because Last Jedi is now a film, so there's two movies with Jedi in it. So post-Return of the Jedi. Let's clarify there. I want some animated stuff post-Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I got what you mean. I think it's going to take a while for us to get used to maybe even saying Jedi in the context of this new movie, because at least for me, it's ingrained that Jedi is, the third movie.
Yeah, it's Jedi third.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I kind of think that he's going to want to do something else. I mean, Dave Filoni, he's part of the story group, but his big thing is primarily the TV shows. That's what he's kind of known for working on. Pablo and Leland and Matt and all the other people on the creative team in the story group, they work on all of it. But Dave Filoni, he's the animation god at Lucasfilm. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. It's not over for Star Wars TV. There's another show coming out. It's tied into that book series that I mentioned at the top of that section. It's called Star Wars, The Forces of Destiny, just like the books. There's a trailer out. It's based on the same, female characters. This is announced as a partnership between Disney and Lucasfilm. It's launching in July. It's going to be a series of animated shorts. They're going to be 2 to 3 minutes each, and they're going to be on the Disney YouTube channel. And in addition to that, there's going to be a 2-part TV special featuring 8 additional shorts that will be on the Disney Channel in fall of 2017. So there's some really cool stuff in there, probably some really neat stories about all the characters that I mentioned beforehand. And also, for any fans of Rebels, it appears that Hera is going to be in here as well, and that she has been confirmed to survive at least as far as the Endor assault. So We're talking Jedi here. The third film, Hera is apparently there, and that's pretty exciting. We still don't know the fate of everybody else, but at least we know that Hera made it that far.
I like seeing new things uncovered about the Battle of Endor. Mostly just because, think back to Aftermath. You remember we found out two main characters from Aftermath ran into each other at the Battle of Endor. That was kind of cool. And, uncovering more about Hera, I don't know. And then rolling into video games. I think the Battle of Endor has a lot to do with what was announced. The biggest announcement probably for video games.
Battlefront
2 is everything that I wanted in Battlefront 1, but now it's in,
Take the lead on this one. What makes you excited? Because you did not get Battlefront 1. You didn't get that first one.
I played the beta?
Yeah.
I was too nervous to wear a mic, and because I never play video games. Battlefront 1 was just all online play, and playing with friends, which some people love. The Call of Duty stuff, the Battlefield stuff. I'm not so much into that. And one thing it was severely lacking was a single player campaign, and that's what Battlefront 2 has got.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too. I was pretty disappointed when they said that there wasn't going to be a campaign, a traditional campaign in Battlefront 1. I'm not an online player. I'm not very good. I die frequently, and that frustrates me, and then I end up quitting. And so for somebody who pre-ordered the Ultimate Edition with every expansion right, from the top before the game even came out, it's been pretty disappointing to just watch my PS4 sit there.
There are other games for this PS4, Jacob, just to be clear.
I know, and I played Firewatch. That's a fantastic game. I like games with stories. Oh,
I can't wait for Firewatch. I've been waiting on it for too long. I'm waiting for a sale.
Just get it. Just pay for it. It's fantastic. They deserve your money. I can vouch for it. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. So my PS4 doesn't get a whole lot of use. I was expecting to use it mostly for Destiny and then this, and I didn't make it past the first expansion of either. So I'm excited for this one because there is a story. You know, I think it's cool that, you know, on occasion I will play, you know, a couple rounds of the online multiplayer. I was very good at the ships in Battlefront 1. I'm hoping that they kind of expand that a little bit more in this one. Maybe, you know, some more space battles. I think maybe they did that in Battlefront 1 in an expansion. I just didn't pay attention. But yeah, in this one, there's going to be, you know, a story, which looks like it's actually going to be pretty good. And then they're going to bring in, you know, obviously characters from this new saga. It's going to be mostly about that. And then they're going to have prequel characters in there too. They've got a picture of Darth Maul in one of the teaser posters.
Oh yeah. Getting that
Which
Maul.
Is sweet. He's so much fun in the original Battlefront 2. All the flips and stuff.
Yeah, now he's on a PS4 engine, so it's going to be nicer. I just like that we're going to get, you know, they're not just doing a Rebel story, they're doing an Imperial story. It's an Imperial revenge campaign, which is really cool to me because it brings me back to TIE Fighter and those flight sims. And yeah, I mean, I think people will argue X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, like TIE Fighter was the superior game. Yeah, the story of this campaign is, I guess the protagonist is going to be a character, a female named Iden Versio. But yeah, it's essentially just another Battle of Endor scene, and everyone's just kind of like, oh, you know, we're fighting Battle of Endor, great Ewoks, eating each other's faces, awesome, sweet. And then they look up in the sky, and the Death Star explodes, which I feel like would kind of like have more repercussions for the people on the ground of the planet than are depicted in the trailer, you know, just like watching this thing blow up really quickly in outer space.
Yeah, probably realistically would do more than just lower morale.
We were really sad the day the Death Star 2 blew up. Boy, I can't wait to avenge the Emperor. Now, that's something that I think I've been thinking about is, like, what does the Empire know of what happened at the Battle of Endor? Because they know the Emperor fell, but I think, do they just assume he went down with the ship on that one? They don't know that Vader turned. I mean, Luke is the only one who knows Vader turned.
Well, that's some of the interesting things that we learn in the books is, you know, there's the propaganda. Like, a lot of people don't know that the Empire or that the Emperor has died. Like, as far as most of the people in the, you know, within the Empire are aware, he's still very much alive. It's just the, you know, the topper echelons that are aware that, you know, everything is now in disarray and they don't have a true leader. That's kind of what Aftermath was really about, was that group of Imperials trying to figure out what to do next, all the Moffs and
scrambling for power.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just using like a life model decoy, a puppet, a sock puppet, just somebody's hand in a black shroud, just dancing in front of a holocam. It's like, yeah, yes. Well, keep on keeping on, Empire.
Yeah, so that's the story's kind of following this Imperial, and she's not giving up on the cause.
It looks nice. You're going to have some ground combat. You're going to have like aerial combat. It looks like outer space combat, which I always love. Maybe we'll see some like, you know, zero G stuff, just, you know, full 360, be able to rotate your craft, no up or down. I'd love that. Yeah. I'd love that.
I'm excited about all this. I'm just reading through it now, and it takes place between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. And, you know, it's a single player campaign. I'm just excited because, I mean, first of all, we get to play as a female Imperial something. Do we know her rank? Is she a officer? Is she a soldier?
I mean, she's telling people what to do, so I think she's a boss lady. I like that.
She's a boss lady?
Yeah.
Man, the screenshots of this are fantastic. I'll put a link to Gizmodo. They pulled a bunch of the, you know, the background screenshots that they put out. And, oh man, it looks beautiful. It's amazing what they can do with video games these days.
Yeah. And I think one of the coolest little news bites out of this is that it's going to have Last Jedi DLC.
Yeah, they did that last time too. They did Jakku, or the Battle of Jakku DLC. But do you think you're thinking maybe campaign? Like,
yeah,
story?
I was hoping campaign stuff would be really nice if they just tossed in like Fallout style, just giving you a couple extra missions and new locations. You know, that would be nice.
That would be cool. It would be cool to like go to like play on Ahch-To. Like that would be a really hard map, just because it's like all mountain. Like basically anybody who gets to the top would win, because That's the high ground.
Well, and also I just feel like maybe my hopes are just too high on this one. I think
Based
on previous expectations that have been set is that, you know, EA will not give us what we want.
So you're going to buy this one though?
I think so. I think I just have to, you know, just because I have friends who hate Call of Duty who swear up and down that some of the Call of Duty single player campaigns are like actually really great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take their word for it and hope that it reflects onto Battlefront 2.
Well, I worked on some of the campaigns for the Battlefield games when DICE brought back the Battlefield thing on the Frostbite engine. Is that what it is? That what these are built on?
I have no idea.
I think so. I worked on Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4, and I got free copies of each of those, and I basically only played the campaigns. And I do recall the campaigns actually being pretty good. I was trash at the multiplayer, but the campaigns were good. So I'm excited for this. Definitely going to buy it. But kind of related, we talked about Inferno Squad when that was announced on a previous episode. Inferno Squad is going to be a book. This is actually going to be a tie-in to Battlefront 2. It's going to be kind of a prequel of sorts. So Christy Golden is writing this. You know, we've talked about her before. She wrote Dark Disciple, which was that one of those first canonized novels, which used some of the recycled bits from Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the TV show. And she's pretty good. So I'm excited for this book, and knowing that it ties into Battlefront 2 as sort of a prequel about this, this, you know, band of Imperials that are basically tasked with infiltrating whatever remains of Saw Gerrera's partisan cell. I think that's a fascinating concept. We've got these like Imperial people that are trying to go undercover to become these kind of rebels of rebels. So in a way, like this group kind of apparently mirrors those partisans that they're trying to infiltrate. So I'm just excited for this story because it seems to me that it's going to be like kind of hectic. Like it doesn't seem like that there's going to be any organization to what this group is doing, because they're going in uncharted waters and they're trying to track down these, you know, these rebels that were just kind of like fled in a hurry when Jedha was destroyed. Like they're trying to break into the group of Saw's rebels that were able to escape when the Death Star did its initial test on Jedha. So I have no idea what that's going to be about. This Inferno Squad books takes place a couple of years before Battlefront 2, but you know, follows the same sort of group of Imperial soldiers. So kind of eager to see what happens with this one, because just like we talked about just now and in episodes past, kind of following the bad guy's perspective has been interesting in these new books, and I'm excited to continue doing that.
Yeah. It's always nice to kind of like see the other side of it, humanize the enemy, so to speak.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, bear with me just for a little bit while we talk about collectibles.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go to sleep. I'll see you at the end of the podcast.
There's actually not a whole lot to announce. There were a ton of really cool toys, you know, exclusive Funko products, exclusive Black Series figures, all kinds of neat stuff at Star Wars Celebration. But I tried not to pay any attention to it because I wanted it, and there was just no way that I was going to get it. So it's been a long time since I bought anything, to be honest, Mike. I buy all the books and everything, of course, because I can't miss out on those. But I've been winding down a little bit on the toys. I got to buy a new car. Big boy stuff.
Big boy stuff. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I can't fly around this Naboo Starfighter. Man.
Yeah, I know.
Cool,
as try as you might, that thing is not taken off again.
I can fit on it, but not in it.
That'd be just great if you just like installed some wheels in that thing, made a little go-kart shell out of it, and just drove that around Ohio.
But there was one really cool tidbit that I thought I'd bring up. They did announce that Hasbro is announcing the return of the vintage collection. So they're bringing back the really cool vintage collection with, you know, like the carded packaging with essentially just the figure and their accessory, and then the cool card back with, you know, those silver lines that go around the logo and around the photo. And I'm really excited about it. They're going to have, you know, Rey, they're going to have all the new characters. And the trailer that they put out for this collection was just really nice.
Trailers for I guess
trailers for everything.
Well, no, I've seen, like, I've actually very enthusiastically watched trailers for like really deluxe Darth Vader figurines before. I think Jared, our interview subject, from a few episodes, like a long time ago, our episode on collecting. I think it was episode 11.
Yeah.
We sat down and watched like a trailer together of just, you know, like a reveal trailer of a really nice Darth Vader.
Like Sideshow or Hot Toys?
I could not even tell you, but yeah, something. We'll just say, yeah, it was one of those, but it was just like a trailer. It's just like the deep breathing. It reminds me of like, who's that? Who does the pens? It's like Sylvester Stallone's pen collection. There's like a viral video of just like Sylvester Stallone demoing his new pens. And it's like this really intense, like 5-minute infomercial about Sylvester Stallone's pens. It's so stupid.
That's great. Yeah, this is cool. I mean, I'll probably buy a couple of these just because they're so neat. I love the vintage card backs, and you know, it's definitely like it's a gimmicky play to the market. They know exactly who they're aiming for here, and they know they're going to make a ton of money. But it's cool. I'm excited for those. But more so, I want to dig into this because we've been talking about going to the parks, and it's come up a couple times. Obviously, we have our theories about Star Wars Celebration 2019, you know, happening somewhere around one of the new parks, Star Wars Land. But some new news came out on Star Wars Land and the experiences that people are going to be able to have when they go visit this park, and it seems pretty awesome.
Like what? Tell me.
Okay. Well, first of all, there are new stories. The people that are building these parks have been working really closely with Lucasfilm, and not only are they going to, you know, kind of give you the opportunity to live in some of the atmospheres that you're used to from the movies, like the cantinas and, you know, the stuff that you expect to see in a Star Wars Land to kind of bring you into the films that we've seen, but there are going to be new stories as well. And they're going for like total immersion here, really interactive stuff. For example, I pulled a link here from the Orange County Register about just how interactive it's going to be. Quote, at the recent Star Wars Celebration fan event in Orlando, Scott Trowbridge, a Disney Imagineer overseeing the project, said it would feature a way for interactive story elements to involve visitors throughout the land. Trowbridge added that choices visitors make while piloting the Millennium Falcon ride could influence how Star Wars characters treat and react to the visitors while in the land. So it's almost like you're going to be stepping into Star Wars Land, and from that point on, you're role-playing. I don't know how this is going to work.
Dream come true.
But I'm fascinated, and I can't wait to try it. I know, like, we're going to go, and I'm hoping that we can bring our girlfriends, too. I'm hoping that they'll agree. And I just know, like, as soon as I step into this area, nothing else exists. I'm not Jacob anymore. I am a smuggler pilot. For sure. Like I'm going to go full in because it just seems like it's going to be one of those cool experiences where like, you can just do whatever you want. And it's just going to be one of those like cool,
all right,
awesome, immersive places where you can just pretend. I want to pretend, Mike.
You've been watching too much Westworld, dude.
Oh, I know. I really have. That, it really has
you
changed.
You think that this is going to be like a Westworld for Star Wars people, but what it's actually going to be is just like that section of Epcot where you can get beer. You know, that's the cantina.
Ooh.
It's just like, that's it.
Well, that's cool too. I mean, I'm going to take so many photos. We're going to have a blast. I know we are. But I'm excited for this Millennium Falcon ride. And it sounds like they're going to have a lot of really cool stuff there. They're just going to keep rolling this stuff out and more announcements as it goes on. They're planning on this, you know, if they plan on this debuting sometime in 2019, they got a lot of work to do. But from what I've read and seen, it's going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest installation that Disney has ever undertaken in any of their parks, and they're putting it in two of them. So it's going to be massive, and I'm super, super excited for it.
You have to figure that, you know, they just started developing the script for episode 9, right? So elements of episode 9 are definitely going to be a part of this park, which is going to leave very little time, I feel like, to develop rides and, you know,
well,
I locations.
Don't know. I don't think so, because I think that they're really focusing more on the new stories. You know, I think that there'll definitely be like characters and maybe some familiar places, but I think that they'll be able to pull this off without tying it so directly into these movies that haven't come out yet, because they're going to be new stories. They're going to be like familiar feels. I don't think you're just going to be walking into like Jakku Land and Endor Land, but there's definitely going to be like Star Wars themes to those points. So, you know, the cantina is a good example. yeah, I'm kind of, I would love to like walk through like a section of like the Coruscant underworld, you know, like in just one alleyway that's kind of
it's like the adults only section of Star Wars land.
Yeah, just like neon lights and, you know, just kind of like that dodgy, you know, gross, massive metro kind of feel. I think something like that would be cool.
How many like ride concepts? I mean, I'm sure my mind is very small when it comes to like developing rides, but like how many ride concepts can there be that aren't like, remember the Star Wars ride that's there down in whatever, what do they call it now? Like Hollywood Studios or like something like that.
Star Tours?
Yeah, that ride. I mean, is that just going to be like every ride at Star Wars Land?
No. I think it's going to be much bigger than that. I'm looking forward to the one that they've announced, which is the Millennium Falcon, but I'm sure they'll have something like BB-8's Wild Ride.
For the kids. I totally did Mr. Toad's Wild Ride when I was there, and I was way too old for it.
Oh, yeah. I did it twice. That one's great.
Well, like my brother and my dad didn't want to go. Like they were like, this is for babies. We're not doing that. I'm like, Mom, we should probably go on this. Like, it's just people said it was good. We should go on it.
And
like,
come on, Mom. Let's sit on the teacups.
She totally went in the ride with me. And then at the end of the ride, I like turned to her. I was like, Mom, let's tell Dad and Danny that this ride was actually good. And she's like, deal. Fully lied.
They probably said the same thing to you when they got off. It's a Small World.
I think we did that one together. That was a
I did not want to go on that ride.
Mandatory attendance, yeah.
I hated it. It wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
You thought It's a Small World was going to be scary?
Yeah, I mean, all those creepy dolls, it is kind of scary, but I thought it'd be more creepy.
Is this the music on repeat? This very, like, da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Yeah, and then you get to the German section, and it's like, Ich bin Gruben, Hein, and Kopf.
That did not happen.
Speaking of Star Tours, though, in the meantime, while they're working at Star Wars Land, they're adding Crait to Star Tours. This is the new planet that is in the trailer for The Last Jedi. It's that planet where those ships are racing across that kind of like deserty plain, and that like red dust gas is coming out behind them. Not really sure what that is. We'll get into that in the trailer breakdown, hopefully. But that's the planet Crait, and it's going to be added to Disney's Star Tours in the meantime, which is kind of cool. I only got to do Star Tours once. I wanted to do it a couple times because every time you go in it, you have the chance to do a different planet. So,
Oh dude, the Star Tours thing. I had a traumatic experience on that.
What do you mean?
So we did Star Tours and, where the ride is going, and all of a sudden a voice comes over the loudspeaker, and I'd been on the ride before, so I knew what to expect. And it just is like, that's like all you hear. And we're like, well, that wasn't part of the ride. And like the audio for the ride had stopped too, to interrupt it. Like someone's interrupting this broadcast. That's what it was. And, you know, ride keeps going, picks up again. And then the ride keeps rocking and the video stops all of a sudden and the screen goes black. And the ride just resets itself, and it lands, and the doors open, and this lady comes in, and it's one of the, you know, the actors, I guess, at Disneyland or Disney World, and she walks up to a dude who's sitting in the like middle row, like the row behind me, and is just like, "Sir, there's no photography on this ride. Like, you cannot do this." And this guy just like sitting there with his daughter, just being like, and he had his camera going the whole time. I was taking pictures or something, apparently. And she warns him like, "You'll like be asked to leave the ride." So totally ruins the ride for everybody. Like the whole like, you know, whatever, we're in space
oh,
and
no.
Hyperspace is over. And she leaves the ride, and the doors close again. And then this English dude in the back starts just ripping into this dude. He's like, "Always gotta be one guy who ruins it for everybody," and just tearing into this dude. And I was really scared there's gonna be like a brawl on the Star Wars ride. It was bad, and it definitely left a sour taste in my mouth and made me sad, because that was one of my favorite rides as a kid, and going on it as like I guess I was 21 when I went on it that time.
Should have yelled after that lady. "He doesn't like you."
"I don't like you either," and just sliced off his arm.
Well, that's it for Star Wars Celebration. That was all I had.
Literally everything that happened. So you just saved yourself a really fun time in Orlando, you guys. Aren't you happy?
I've got a ton of awesome links in here so you can watch like the panels. Actually, as we were recording this, they dropped the best of Star Wars Celebration Orlando. So it's kind of a neat little mixture of all the cosplayers and some of the cool events with the speakers and announcements and stuff like that. So definitely check that out. It's a cool little introduction. If any of it piques your interest, you can definitely check out more online. So I'll have links to all that in the show notes. And I guess that's it.
Yeah. Next celebration, 2019. We'll see you in 2 years and we will be there. We're going to be there. It's going to happen.
For sure. Anything else, Mike?
You're forgetting the contest you mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Everybody's been waiting around for this.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, at the top of the episode, I mentioned that I'm giving away a free copy of Jason Fry's Rebel Dossier. To win, all you have to do is follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on the podcast player of your choice. Now, you don't have to do all of these things, but you have to do one of them, and you have to send us proof via email or message on one of our social platforms. So our email address is banthafodderfm@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, and while you're there, go ahead and toss a like and a follow on there. And for each one of those things you do, you're going to get an entry into this contest. Now, if you decide to do all three, I'm going to be generous. I'm feeling generous. I'll toss in a Bantha Fodder Superfan bonus ticket for you, which means you get 4 entries into the contest. So follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us in a podcast player, and you get 4 entries instead of 3.
What happens if they review the podcast also?
Oh my gosh. If they review the podcast, which would be fantastic, I'll toss in another 2 entries into the contest, which means you get a maximum of 6 entries to win this book by Jason Fry.
Jason Fry, that's a... How many dollar value is that?
That's an $8.10 value.
Okay, let's not say that. Let's not talk about the value on that.
It's like 13 bucks. So yeah, again, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, subscribe to the show, leave us a review on iTunes, and send us proof. That's the key. We're not going to know it unless you send us proof at banthafodderfm@gmail.com or send us some screenshots or something at Twitter or Facebook. And that's it. That's all you got to do. Best of luck.
Awesome. Notes for this episode, banthafodder.fm/episode/19. Follow us at banthafodderfm. Follow me at Mike Comite. Follow Jacob Tender at Jacob Tender. Jacob's very funny. You should follow him.
Am I? Oh, no pressure.
Well, now you have to be funny.
But more importantly, follow the show.
And check out the Last Jedi trailer breakdown, which is going up very shortly, if not right now, in your podcast player.
And thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Later. I just Googled what I sang in German, and that translates to "I am dug in the sun."
Oh my god! I am dug like dug a hole, or like dug like I am the man dug.
Ich bin Gruben einen Kopf as I am dug in the sun.
Wow, dude, that's like a deep lyric right there.
Oh no! It isn't. I typed in "Ich bin Gruben." I sang "Ich bin Gruben einen Kopf," which is "I am dying in my house."
Oh my god! Why do you know that in German? And why do you not know that you know that in German?
I just used Google Translate.